By now you've found Mark's Gospel, I'm sure. We're lesson number 4 in our series, Consider Him. And today we are speaking about this theme of consider His deliverance. Consider His deliverance. And we come to a very interesting event in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of which I believe we can gain from today, and I hope that it will challenge us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God, and it is what we need to hear today. We need to hear from Your Spirit. We need to be sensitive to what You have for us, and so I pray that You'd help us to concentrate on that. And Lord, there's so many things that possibly could take our attention away, but I pray that You'd help us just to be focused on Your Word, and that Your Spirit would be able, that Your Spirit would have power in our life, and we would be listening. And again, that however it needs to be applied in our life, that You would make that well known to us. Thank You for these returning guests. Thank You for Carwin coming today with his dad as well. And what a blessing to have this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few weeks ago, remember, we learned about how Jesus Christ had power over the physical world. Remember that when the sea was a mess and the sea was, he was in the bottom of the boat sleeping, and all he had to do was say, peace, be still, and he had power over the physical world. And we're well aware of that. In today's lesson, we go to another level of his power, and that is his power over the spiritual world. The spiritual world. We are living in a day, as always has been, where there is a real enemy. You and I have a real enemy, all right? And his name is Satan. And he's powerful, but he's not more powerful than our God. And so we're grateful for that. And we see that on display, if you want to call it that, here in Mark chapter number 5. But Satan is not alone. Satan has all kinds of team members that have joined up with him, seeking to do his bidding. And he is continuing to wreak havoc on lives. And it's all about destruction. Every bit of it. Destroying. That's all he wants to do, is destroy. And we're picking it up in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's crossed the Sea of Galilee, as we talked about, again, calming the sea, because there was someone whom Jesus was headed to change their life drastically. And that's here in the area of Gadara, in the area of Gadara. Now, in Matthew's gospel, it tells us, we're not going to turn there, but it tells us that two possessed with devils met him in Matthew 8:28. In Mark's gospel, it would appear that there is a zeroing in, if you will, on possibly the man who was under the most influence of those devils, and we find that in Mark 5. So let's get into the outline, and then we'll begin reading in Mark 5. Number one, we see the presence of demonic influence. The presence of demonic influence. Verse number one, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. This is the same sea where Jesus calmed it. So he's got power over the physical world. And now, immediately, verse 2, and when he was come out of the ship, again, Mark uses that word immediately quite often. If you remember our study of the book of Mark years ago, Mark is a fast pace. It's the shortest of the gospel records. And so here we see immediately there meets him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. This man is under the influence of a legion of demons. And he is fully possessed. He's in fully control of the demons. He's in no control over himself. And we'll learn more about that. And in his own strength, this man, unnamed man, was no match for these demons. And I might add today that we, without Christ, that the power of Jesus, we're no match for Satan. But greater is he that is in us as Christians than he that is in the world. And so we have great hope that we can overcome. But this man obviously was greatly influenced by demonic influence. How do we know this? In fact, Can I just say this to you today, and I'm not trying to be spooky or anything because I don't think it's spooky, but people today all over the place are under demonic influence. They're under demonic influence. It's as real today as it was in Mark 5. Now, we can't see it necessarily in the sense of we can't see angels and we can't see of God and we can't see demons of Satan. We can't see it, but we know that they're there. But what can we observe from this example in Mark 5? Well, letter A, we'd see this man had a deathly interest. A deathly interest. He lived where? Where did he live? In the tombs. Now again, I am fascinated many times by walking through old cemeteries and looking at the old headstones and trying to find the oldest one in there, but I've never taken my tent or my sleeping bag to a cemetery and set it up for a night. I don't plan on doing that anytime soon. But in all seriousness, this is where this man who was possessed of these demons dwelt. It's where he lived. It's where he found himself time and time again, sleeping amongst the bones and the bodies of dead people. Where he spent his time reflected the condition of his heart. He was dead spiritually. He was dead. And by the way, so was I before I came to Christ. And by the way, so were you before you came to Christ, if you're saved. And those of you that are joining us online, I don't mean to ignore you. If you can hear me, I think you can now. But welcome to Anchor Baptist Church today. We're glad to have you. Thank you for your patience. But if you are saved, before you got saved, you as well were dead spiritually. Anyone under the control of the enemy in dead spiritually will naturally move toward more depravity, will naturally move toward more filth. And I'm not talking about playing in the dirt. It's okay to let our kids play in the dirt, right? And the behavior of someone who is prone to that, they're only going to naturally be pulled to it. Why? Because, again, they're under the control of those demons that are inside of them. And by the way, turn over quickly, if you would, to Isaiah 65. This isn't something new. Satan has no desire for those who are following him to bring them to a place of peace. Quite the opposite. Look at Isaiah 65, verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. Isaiah 65, 1. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in the gardens, that burneth incense upon the altars of brick, notice, which remain among the what? Graves. Lodge in the monuments, eat swine's flesh, and broth of abominable things in their vessels. During the Old Testament time, people would go to the gardens of Baal to burn incense, worshiping after pagan deities. Where? In the graveyards. So we see that this man in Mark 5, letter A, had a deathly interest. Letter B, we see that he had a very destructive strength. It wasn't productive strength. It was destructive strength. Look at verse 3 of our text, please. Mark 5 and 3. He had his dwelling among the tombs. Notice the next phrase, no man could bind him. So he was strong. In fact, we might say superhuman strength. It wasn't his strength. Not even with chains, verse 3 says. And it says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Just that has the idea of the chains are around him, and just like somebody might tie something really simple around us, and we could just break it very easily, that's what he did to chains. destructive strength. It says, neither, in verse 4, neither could any man tame him. He was under the influence of a power much greater than himself. I've read stories, I've read articles, I can't say that I've witnessed it myself, but many have said that in our day, as people are under the control even of a powerful drug, they can do things that they would not have even attempted to have done being sober. And we see that very same thing here in this man, and we see it here and today, in our day. Again, let's not read things in the Bible and think, oh, that was just then. We live in a different time. No, we have a devil. He's powerful. We have a devil. He's very destructive. We have a devil. He has team members that are walking. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. He's got people placed all over, and it's all about destroying and discouraging and defeating. And many in Vancouver and many in other parts of Canada and yet around the world, they're under this grip of his power. I'm so thankful that that's not the message, that it ends right there and we shut our Bibles and we go home and we have our heads down and we have no hope. No, we have an answer for everyone that is under the power and control of Satan himself. There is hope. There is a deliverance, and we must consider him. That's the lesson for the day. Consider Christ's deliverance. I can't deliver anybody. You can't deliver anybody. But the power of Christ can deliver everyone. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful for ministries that God has raised up. And not just RU, but like an RU that we can have here and other ministries like that. But just the preaching of the Word of God, that's the power that we need for salvation. That's the power that we need for deliverance. So a deathly interest, destructive strength. And then letter C, we see a delirious tendency. Notice what it says in verse 5. Night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs. Just picture this. This is somebody's son. We just read this and we think, that's a wild man. Well, that's somebody's son. Might be somebody's brother. It might be somebody's grandson, friend at some point. And here's a man who's running around in the tombs and in the mountains, and he's completely out of control, and he's crying. Can you just picture it for a minute? Picture this man. Later on, it tells us that when he got delivered, and praise the Lord for that, he had clothes on. Later. So it's quite possible that this man didn't have much or any clothes on, and he's crying and he's running and he's cutting himself. Notice that's what we're coming to, verse number 5, and cutting himself with stones. He would run around at night during the day, constantly cutting himself. I want to tell you that the further society gets away from God, the more abusive society becomes to oneself and to others. I think we're still seeing Mark 5 in 2021. Maybe you know someone that's under the grip of Satan. We almost don't like to say that, do we? But it's true. It's either you're under the power of God, you're saved and on your way to heaven, or you're under the grip of Satan. There's really no two other options, is there? The Bible doesn't tell us there's a third power. There's God, and then under him and way under him, of course, two powers, if you will, but I kind of get leaving it that way. Two fathers, okay? There's no third option. Delirious tendency. 1 Kings chapter 18. Remember that story? Elijah and the prophets of who? Baal. Turn over there to 18. 1 Kings 18, please, and verse 26. And here we see the difference between God's servant, Elijah, and the servants of Baal. So we might as well say the servants of Satan, under the control of Satan. Look at 1 Kings 18, 26. So it's a contest, if you're not familiar, it's a contest between the prophets of Baal and one prophet of God, Elijah. Verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon. O Baal, hear us. And we know today, but there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar. Again, can you picture this? And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, excuse me, or he is pursuing. He's in a journey. Not like this. Peradventure, he sleepeth. He's taking a nap. Cry louder and wake him up. And must be awake. Verse 28. And they cried aloud. And what did they do? They cut themselves. After their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Oh, I'm so thankful to today as we read in our Bible that we can come to God in fervent prayer, and we should, but in no way does God expect you or does God expect me to follow this type of a prayer with knives and cutting and doing all of these kinds of things. This is a sure indication that the enemy was controlling these prophets of Baal. Then lastly, we find, and we alluded to this a moment ago, this is, again, indicators of someone who's under the control. A deviant behavior, letter D, a deviant behavior. And I alluded to this already when I was speaking about this man. He was a naked man running around the countryside doing all that he did. Because, again, after the fact, we see a different scene. Habakkuk 2:15, God's word says, woe unto them that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. You would have to literally be having your head in the sand about today's society that is definitely elevating nakedness. That's the world in which we live. And I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's not a good thing. And it's specifically pointed to here in this Bible lesson that this man not only did all that he did, but he did it without any clothes on. If we glimpse into our culture, we can see some of this behavior making a great, unfortunately, impact even today. The presence of demonic influence. Number two. The proclamation of deliverance. The proclamation of deliverance. I'm so thankful that it doesn't end there. You see, as we learned a little bit about on Wednesday night, when God told Hosea, he told him, go. Wife Gomer had been unfaithful to him more than once. If you read that, the point was God said to Hosea, you seek Gomer. Don't wait for Gomer to come back. You seek her. What do we see here? Jesus Christ was on a mission. That's why he said before they even got in the boat, we are going to the other side. Because why? He knew who was on the other side. He knew that this man was doing what he was doing. He knew that he was the only hope. So the point being, Jesus Christ sought this man out. By the way, Jesus Christ sought you out. And Jesus Christ sought me out. Don't think of the world in the sense of the 7 or 8 billion people, although it is a big world that we live in. Think about the fact that you, one individual today, God, in his love for you, sought you out, and God brought the gospel into your path, and God brought the gospel into my path, and God's bringing the gospel into your path if you're online today, continuously, not willing that any perish, I'm thankful we serve a God who is seeking the lost, seeking those that are oppressed in this way, wanting them to experience the real deliverance that only He can deliver. That's the message we have today. That's the message that's preached here on Friday nights with RU. God will deliver you if you'll let Him. That's the message we preach on Sunday. It doesn't matter if it's on deliverance about this. God is a delivering God. God is a God of freedom. I'm so thankful that this chapter's here and other ones like it. I'm thankful that we can look at our own lives and say, God has delivered me. I don't deserve it, but God has delivered me. Letter A, what did he get delivered from? Letter A, deliverance from wickedness. Notice how we see immediately that the demons caused this man to go over and worship him. Look at verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. The word worshiped here is more of a acknowledging his presence. More of a bowing down, as in some cultures even today do that. Right? When you enter someone's presence, there is a sense of respect that is given, a little bit of a bow that is given. And that's the word that it's translated from here in that. It doesn't mean that the demons repented of their sin and turned to Jesus Christ, okay? That's not what it's talking about. Now, did the demons believe in God? Of course they did. Of course they do today. We even find that in the Word of God in James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But that doesn't mean the devils are going to heaven because they believe there's a God. Going to heaven goes beyond belief in the existence of a God. That's why someone, when they say to me, or maybe when they say to you, do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I believe in God. Well, okay, that's a good start. But we need to talk a little bit more about it. And, you know, you want to be led by the Spirit. I'm not saying just, you know, give them the whole truckload at the first time you meet them. But if you have a relationship with them, then possibly you could ask a little bit more of a probing question. Because we know that Satan believes in God, but according to the Bible, Satan's never going to repent. So, these demons knew who Jesus was. Letter B. Letter B. So he was delivered from wickedness. Letter B, deliverance by the Word. By the Word. Look at verse 8, please. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. Verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. That would have been something. And were choked in the seed. What is it that brings the deliverance here? It's not simple, but it is a simple statement. It was the words of Jesus Christ. Come out. Just like he said to the water, be still. Now he's saying to the demons, come out. Power over nature. Power over the supernatural. The spiritual world, if you will. In other words, God's Word, the Word of God. Think about it. What do you hold in your hand? We hold in our hand a more sure word of prophecy. Even of itself, this is the same power that said, come out. Same power. That means as a Christian, we have the power not in ourselves, but in the spoken Word of God. You know, that's why I'm glad that in every area of Anchor Baptist Church, what do we emphasize? We emphasize spending time in God's Word. We emphasize letting God's Word be in you, in me. Even in the Patch Club, as we're learning Bible verses, and in RU learning Bible verses, and me saying, and I'm nobody, but me saying from time to time, that would be a good verse to memorize, and you should have a sheet of paper that was handed out. Do you have that sheet of paper? It's a half sheet of paper with Bible verses on it. Don't leave it behind. And if everybody doesn't get one, I'll print some more of those and cut them up. We had 40 of those made. And so it should be a half sheet of verses there. The first one at the top is Psalm 19:14. Are those out? Who doesn't have one? How many don't have one? Okay. Was there extras? Okay. All right. They're coming. Good. I want you to have those, and I want to encourage you this way. Now, again, some of you may already have these verses, and you've already hidden them in your heart. You meditate on them or whatever. We'll make more copies if you need them. All right? Okay. Yeah, there they are. There they are. We got more coming. Okay. But I want us to look at these. These are some specific verses from God's Word that will help us as we combat temptation. I got saved when I was 9 years old. Praise God, I'm so thankful for that. But temptation continues every day. That was 38 years ago I got saved. You know what? Temptation every day. Temptation every day. But what do I have? I have this. What do you have as a Christian? You have the Word of God. We have something so powerful. It's not about experience in the past. I'm not discounting experience. It's about having His Word in the present. This is the power that we have to overcome temptation. If we not only read it, but we meditate on it, and we apply it, and again, we let it get in us. Do you have that now? Let's read these quickly, okay? We don't normally do this, but God's Word, it's got a million times more power than any of our words. So let's start and read through. There should be five verses on your sheet, starting with Psalm 19:14. We'll read the reference, and then the verse, and then we'll read the next one, and go on from there, okay? Ready? Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise God for His written word. It is inspired. It is infallible. It is all-powerful. And so you have this Word of God. I have this Word of God. It is our defense. It is our deliverance when temptation comes. Well, I like verse 7 of James 4. We just read it there. Submit to God. Resist Satan. And guess what? Adios. He goes. Submit to God. Gives you the power to say no to Satan, and he's got to go find somebody else. Praise the Lord for the power and the deliverance that we have in the Word of God. Maybe you have some kind of spiritual struggle or stronghold today in your life, some kind of habit in your life. I want to encourage you, any stronghold can be broken down by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've got a bitterness issue. Let's submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Maybe you haven't been willing to forgive someone, so unforgiveness is a problem. I don't know what it might be. I just know this, no stronghold is too difficult for the Word of God to break through. Deliverance by the Word. Number one, presence of demonic influence. Number two, proclamation of deliverance. Lastly, the peace of the redeemed. The peace of the redeemed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things are become new. There is a metamorphosis, if you will, that happens when someone comes to Jesus Christ as Savior. Sometimes that growth comes quickly. Sometimes it takes a little more time. But anyone that is truly saved, I want you to think about this, anyone that is truly saved will grow. Now we see right away the change in this man. It's amazing, isn't it? Look at verse 15, Mark 5. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. What's he doing now? Sitting. What was he doing before? Running around like a wild man, okay? And he hadn't had too much sugar, all right? Come on now. I mean, he was just all the time because he wasn't in the control of himself. And so letter A, we're going to finish reading it. Letter A is a serene position. He'd been running and screaming for years. Now he's sitting. There's peace there. You know, there's a lesson there that God's just gave me just right now. And a lot of times, you know, you can't be possessed of a devil if you're saved. It's impossible. But you can be oppressed. You can go back to some of those tendencies. You know what? I've never found myself like this man, but I have found myself running around in life sometimes. And just, thing is, you just wear yourself out when you do that. Sometimes we just need to stop and sit down. Because God's got this under control. And not have to try to run around like it's up to me. It's not up to me. It's not up to you. You see the change that Jesus made in this life. Let's remember that in our own life that, you know, we were what we were. And then Jesus changed us and made us and reformed us. And he's still working on us. He's not done yet. A serene position. He's no longer running. He's no longer screaming. Notice it says there, sitting and clothed. We talked about that early. And in his right mind. Isn't this an amazing statement at the end of verse 15? They were a what? Afraid. This man has been running around and cutting himself and shouting and screaming and cutting and doing all that he's doing, and now he's sitting down and he's got clothes on and he's in his right mind and he's not cutting himself anymore, and they're afraid. They just got so used to seeing this man doing what he was doing that this was very startling to them. And it is interesting, and we'll look into this as we've got to keep moving here quickly, and we'll talk about that. So it was a serene position. Letter B, there was a sane behavior. Sane behavior. He had clothes on now. His behavior changed. How about this thought? When we meet Jesus, we will recognize there are some things about our behavior that must change. But here's the good news. It's not up to you to change them, and it's not up to me to change them. We change them by the grace and power of our Almighty God. Just as I am saved completely through grace, I'm living the Christian life completely through grace. Same behavior. Letter C, a sound mind. A sound mind. Only Christ can give us that sound mind. He was able to think clearly, have a normal conversation. 2 Timothy 1:17, we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Rest through Christ. You know, one of the lies of the devil is it's too hard to be a Christian. It's too difficult to be a Christian. You know what you ought to tell the devil? It's harder living without Jesus. That's a lie. The devil's a liar. It's too hard to be a Christian. No. It's much harder living without Jesus Christ. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back. We've all seen it in our own lives and lives of others. No, we want to continue to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. This man finally had a sound mind that he desperately needed only through Christ. Notice the final blessing that he gained. Letter D, and it was a challenge again to read this. He had a soul-winning fervor. A soul-winning fervor. Verse 16. They that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. Notice. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They weren't praying. Different word. They wanted him to leave. They wanted Jesus to leave. They weren't concerned about the maniac. They were concerned about the pigs. You just killed 2,000 pigs, but yet you got a guy sitting over here that's sane and in his right mind and been possessed. That's just the world for you. The world isn't concerned about you. Satan's not concerned about you. All the advertisements that tell about this and that. No, it's all about money most of the time. It's all about advancing somebody else. And we talked about that the other night. I don't want to get back on that. But this is what's happened here. They want Jesus to go out. They want him to depart. And verse 18, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. And so this maniac says, no. Don't leave. You just changed my life. I don't want you going anywhere. But look at verse 8, look at verse 19. Jesus said, go home to thy friends. Hey, Andrew, go find Peter. That's one of the most amazing things about those brothers, right? We don't have the book of Andrew. We have the book of Peter, two of them. But before that, there was a brother that said, hey, you got to come see Jesus. We've met the Messiah. We've met him. Come. Go home, tell thy brothers, tell thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and how he had compassion on thee. Verse 20, and he departed. This is now talking about the maniac of Gadara. He departed and began to publish, preach, teach, talk about it, how great things he had done for him. And all the men did marvel. This man is finally in his right mind, and the people were telling him and Jesus to leave. You know what this I relate this to? When we get saved, many times our old friends, they aren't going to want anything to do with us. And we start talking about Jesus and the Bible and church and this and that and the other thing. That's why, again, it wasn't so much about this man at all. They didn't care for him. And yet we know Jesus cares for us. We know Jesus loves us. Oh, I tell you what, you have a story to tell. I have a story to tell because of what Jesus... We have been delivered. Who do we need to publish it to today? I pray that God would lead us to someone even in this heat wave that we're in. Who can we tell about Jesus? Who can we give the gospel to? Let's rejoice today in the fact that we're delivered. But let's not lose sight of so that are still under the grip of the enemy.